How's it going?
Good.
Got to stay awake for about another hour. Then you can go nap. Don't nap during the message. I will call you out. I will have people wake you up. Okay, a little change of gears. Well, Lord, thank you for the lunch, for all those people who worked so hard to put it together. Thank you for our time together now in your word. Lord, you promised us, Holy Spirit, that he would lead us into all truth. He would teach us all things Jesus about this life. Thank you. Amen. So John 16, we'll start there. What's so important for me, for you to get when I say that Christ is your life, that God reorients your way of thinking. You know that Jesus Christ lives in you. As a matter of fact, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, because so many people talk about, well, have you had this sacrament? Have you had this gone? Or did you pray this prayer? Were you baptized? This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. All right, so this is pretty important. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test? So the acid test as to whether or not you're a Christian is that do you know that Jesus Christ is in you? Not just by theology, not just because you've been told that, but the reality is that Jesus Christ lives in you. That's what makes you a Christian. The fact that you've been placed into Christ, he did that on the cross in death, burial, resurrection. But when you baptism, your immersion into what he is and who he is and what he's done for you. We're baptized in the name of Jesus. To be baptized in somebody's name means to be baptized into their person, into their nature. God so loved the world, he didn't send a microphone. So your understanding that Jesus Christ lives in you is imperative. Because what happens is that if you understand that he lives in you to be your life, to be the source from which you live life and do everything in life, do every relationship, do every situation, do every circumstance. Because he knows how to do it. In him is life, not in you. Adam and Eve, when they were still physically alive, and God said they had died in their trespasses and sins. And their sin, original sin, was just trying to do something to be godly without God. God knows if you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll know the difference between good and evil, and you'll be like God. So understand that it branches out into people not wanting to be like God, just doing their own thing. But the original thing was trying to be spiritual without God. So Jesus Christ lives in you. But if you're trying to be good, trying to be a good Christian, then the burden's back on you, and you're doing the same thing. You're trying to be like Christ without allowing Christ himself in you, through you, to be himself. He doesn't want you to try to imitate him. Jesus knows how to be Jesus. He's joined you to himself so that in every situation that you face, every temptation, every relationship, every pressure in your life, it's Jesus himself through your personality, through your surrendered childlike faith, handling that situation, circumstance, relationship through you. You with me? So anytime you say, well, I'm doing this and I'm trying to be good Christian, trying to be like Jesus. God didn't create you to try to be like Jesus. He didn't create you to try to be good. He created you to be in union with Christ and living from that life, living from Jesus. What I mean, literally living through him living through you, is the only way you can be like Christ. It's the only way you can be a better husband. It's supernatural. A better wife, a better friend, a better whatever. The acid test of Christianity is Jesus Christ in you. He doesn't live in you and sit on a stool and cheer you on to do the best you can for him. He lives in you to change your story to now be his story. He lives in you to live his life through you. Okay? This is John 16. Jesus is telling the boys he's about to go away. They're really depressed about that. But Jesus is trying to tell them, it's better that I go away. As good as it's been, me being with you, once I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to come inside and make me real inside you. And therefore, the person that you've spent time with and the life that you've been stunned by watching, that person is now going to be in you to live that same life through you. Matter of fact, he said, not only that, but the things that you've seen me do, you'll do even greater. You, the life that Jesus lived in Scripture, Jesus lived out of his humanity. Okay? In absolute, utter dependence. He was the author and the perfecter of faith. And so he lived as your perfect response in every situation. Tempted in every way that you've been, but he handled it totally different. Every moment he lived by faith. Every moment he was depending on the Father in him who lives in him by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, be of good cheer, I know the world and you have tribulation, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He did that out in his humanity. You're in union now with that human Jesus. And that human Jesus is now living his life out through your humanity in union with you. Again, his relationship with God, the Father and the Holy Spirit, his walk is supernatural. It's amazing. So in John 16, when he's telling him that he's going to go away, he says, because I said these things to you, verse 6, sorrow has filled your heart. That's a bad situation when sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, because Jesus always does. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He goes down to verse 13. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, all things Jesus, who lives in you. The Holy Spirit in you is your tour guide into this life that Christ lives through you. He's there to teach you how to renew your mind and teach you how to let Jesus live through you in that situation, in that relationship. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So what did it say, Jesus say about his life and his union with the Father? I only do those things I see the Father doing. I only say those things I hear the Father saying. So the Holy Spirit's now living in you, reworking that same life. That's what he said. He said he will guide you into all truth because he won't speak on his own initiative. But what he hears, he will speak. And he will reveal to you or manifest to you what is to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what's mine and will disclose it to you, reveal it to you. And this is what he said again. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit's in you to glorify Jesus. Okay, he will glorify me, for he will take what's mine and make it manifest to you, reveal it to you. He will glorify me, he will take what's mine, who lives in you, and reveal it to you. So if we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, all those spiritual blessings that are in Christ that are now yours, the Holy Spirit like unpacks them, reveals them to you. He's your tour guide. He's the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of revelation. He will take all this mine and disclose it to you. Now, what all does Jesus have? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he'll take what's mine and disclose it to you. Do you hear that? Everything that the Father has is Jesus's because he's the Son. But you are engrafted into his sonship. And so you're a co-heir. So everything that Jesus has, every favor on his life, every blessing that he carries, you hear. Every anointing that Jesus has, you have. So what I'm wanting to do is blow your mind, literally, because only your mind, remember I told you what I'm going to do is we're going to do something magical. We're going to take you into the mind of Christ. And so these are the examples I keep giving you over and over again. If you're sitting there going, I'm being a terrible wife. Well, whoever said you'd be anything but a terrible wife? He didn't create you to be a good wife. He joined you to him so that you would know the supernatural wonder of Christ in you, through you, being a wonderful wife. And the Holy Spirit's living in you, revealing all that he is to you, all that he has. He's like saying to you, I know how to do relationship. I've lived in a love relationship for all eternity. I know how to do relationship. You go, oh, wow, thanks, childlike faith. And you denounce Christ in you. You're not going through some kind of gymnastics or like, well, if I just pray more, it'll get better. If I'll just fast more, it'll get better. No, it won't. The harder you try, the bigger you'll fall. It's not trying, it's trusting him. And so it says in Colossians 2, for all the fullness dwells in him in bodily form. For all the fullness of deity dwells in him in bodily form. So all the fullness of deity dwells in Jesus. And you have been made full in him. So if all the fullness of deity is in Jesus, and you're in him, then all the fullness that he has is yours. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to him, and therefore it now belongs to you. So he says this. Now, does the Holy Spirit convict us of sin? Yes, but there's nowhere in the scripture that says that he does. But he does. But he does by this. Let me listen to you. Verses, that same little chapter I was reading in between the verses I was sharing. He says, and when he, the Spirit, comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they do not believe in me. That's the world, the lost people. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. Now, what happened when Jesus went to the Father? He poured out the Holy Spirit. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He convicts or convinces people that they need Jesus. He convicts the world of sin. He convinces us that the enemy's been judged and defeated. So we don't practice the presence of the demonic all the time. But he says he convicts us of righteousness. See, Holy Spirit's always in you, convincing you of the wholeness of Jesus, and the innocence of Jesus is yours. So that you can surrender to that. You can sink into that. You can rest in that in childlike faith. So this is a word I shared a few Wednesday nights ago. Fallen thinking always involves two things. The I am not and the I can't. But that's what happens when a person tries to live as an independent self. Now that happens to, I see it in Christians all the time. The enemy tries to convince us that you can still do this, but now you're trying to do it for him instead of living from him. And so you feel all the time, well, I'm not, or I can't. But Jesus is the I am and the I can. How many of you said, I just can't take this anymore? Well, whoever said you were supposed to take it in the first place? Have you cast all the burden on you? Jesus is in you going, oh, I can. Matter of fact, we can do, you can do all things through me who strengthens you. Well, I just can't put up with that person anymore. That's good. You weren't supposed to be trying to put up with him in the first place. Jesus doesn't just put up with people. He loves them. And that doesn't mean there aren't boundaries at times. There aren't things that you do, but it's not in attitude, not in anger, not in rejection. He just doesn't do that. Do you know Jesus doesn't get offended with people? He gets offended for people. He gets offended that the enemy's done such and such to people, that they're walking in place of out of brokenness. So some of the I ams, I am not, that we have, we've talked about this before, like maybe some of this fits you. I'm not acceptable. I'm not very special. I don't feel loved. I don't feel wanted. I don't feel welcomed. I don't feel safe. I'm not very secure. I'm really insecure. I don't feel very important. Again, I don't feel good, like I'm a very good person. I'm not a really good neighbor, not a very good husband, good wife, good whatever, good witness, good Christian. I don't feel good enough for God to bless me, kind of like I read people books and listen to people, and Lord, if I was just as good as them, then I could have the cool life that they have, you know, as a Christian. You've got the best Christian who's ever lived living inside of you. His name is Jesus. He lives the most anointed life you can ever imagine. I don't feel like I measure up. I'm just not there yet. I hear that a lot. I'm just not there yet. I don't care if you're there yet or not. He's there now. Quit trying to get there. He's there. He wants you to just surrender to the fact he's there. What is there? What do you mean by there? Well, you know, the place of freedom and victory. Oh, you mean the thing that Jesus does? The life that he lives? He's just waiting to live through you if you'll just trust him? Oh, that there? I don't feel very anointed. I'm not anointed. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I remember saying that. I don't feel included. I'm not okay. I'm not very beautiful. I'm not handsome. I'm not worthy. I'm not valuable. I have nothing to offer. I don't believe I'm forgiven. And when you think like that, what the enemy does is dangle in front of us. We start looking outside of ourselves to try to be something, do something, to earn something. Like, if I just did this more, I could do this. If I just go there, I could do this. If I could just achieve more, if I just prayed more, if I just fasted more, if I just witnessed more, if I just, whatever. And you know, men are, when men walk in the flesh, pretty self-centered crowd. Dense. But women, when they're not walking out this thing in Christ, they're performers. They just have to perform. And they're reading about other people who are performing, they're comparing their stuff to everybody else. It just is, it's heartbreaking. So here's the deal. Jesus said he's the truth. Again, hear the word righteous. Righteous means the wholeness, the unbrokenness of Jesus. The Jesus who lives in you is not broken in any area. He's not dysfunctional in any area. He's not lacking in any area. Righteousness is about unbrokenness, wholeness, and innocence. Jesus' relationship with the Father is why he's there before the Father, holy and blameless, beyond reproach. But he's presented you that way because you're in him. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And so you're presented before the Father in him. That's pretty cool. So in terms of when you blow it, do you blow it and it's real? Or the consequences? Yeah, but not the consequences isn't God turns his back on you. See, he's not counting that. He wants your transformation. Everybody wants your transformation. It changes everybody around you. So you with me? So you live with a sin consciousness. It's all about this, that, and the other, but he's not. He's convicting you of righteousness. He's the Holy Spirit's constantly in you, convicting you of the wholeness of Jesus, of the unbrokenness of Jesus that's available to you in this moment. God, I'm really scared. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit is saying, "What?" You hear Jesus going, "Well, I'm at peace here. Well, I'm really glad I'm trying to get there, Lord." Stop it. That's living as if the burden's on you and you're living separate from him. If he's at peace about it, you get to, Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." It's not as the world gives because it's got nothing to do with circumstances. It's just got to do with everything with my inner world, Jesus' inner world. Again, there's two primary things about being in Christ. Your destiny is to see the Father's faith through the eyes of Jesus and to share in Jesus' own emotions in that relationship. Your destiny is that we are given Jesus' inner world inside our inner world. As we come into agreement with the truth, his inner world, how he sees this, how he feels about this, how he thinks about this, as we surrender to him and trust him, our brokenness begins to dissipate. Don't focus on your darkness. In your darkness, his strength is made perfect. But focus on the truth of who he is as your life. Because anything that's not the truth is a lie. You see, I'm not a very good wife. Well, I just never can be a good wife. That's a lie. Unless you're lost. But if you're saved and Christ lives in you, you have his capacity, his ability. He wants to release in you his inner world, his emotions, his thoughts. He wants that to be yours. You with me? I mean, again, like we use a stupid example of, everybody know who Shohei Ohtani is? He's like the best baseball player in the world. And so, like, again, you want to play baseball. I'm not very good at baseball, but you're in union now with Shohei Ohtani. You still look like you, but Shohei Ohtani's living in you. You're in him. It's in his world. And you get up to bat, and so you hear this, oh, man, I can't hit anything. And so Shohei Ohtani says, but I can hit everything. Just trust me and go for it. And then when you do, Shohei Ohtani manifests himself through you. That's the Christian life. It's the magic mystery of it all. So, here's the truth. I'm not acceptable. Jesus has been saying, I'm acceptable. Oh, so that means we're acceptable. Yes, because you're one with me. I don't feel very special. Jesus says, in me, I'm really special. Therefore, guess what? We're special because we're one. We're one. I don't feel very loved. Jesus is in me going, I feel so loved. I've been eternally loved by the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's your privilege too. You get to participate in that. Just trust me. Childlike faith. Oh, and here's the cool thing. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by, here's the proper language. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The truth is what he believes. The one who lives in you. What does he believe about this? Well, I don't feel very loved. And he's going, yeah, it's a ratty, isn't it, thing? Like, it's terrible for us to be like this. You know? No, this is the conversion, daily transformation. Is that when you hear his voice or when you know the truth. I'm giving you examples of him speaking in me, but see, I don't have to, most of the time, if I feel unloved because somebody rejects me about something, I don't have to hear him tell me. I know it's true. I'm in union with him. I'm as loved as he is. That's the love of the Father. I get to share and embrace, experience his emotions. It's stunning. You can't get more special than being in union with Christ himself. If Christ is your life, it doesn't get any better. There's no identity better than that. I don't feel very wanted. I'm not wanted. Jesus is like going, I'm really wanted. I feel wanted all the time. I feel wanted even when people treat me like they don't want me. Because I know they're treating me because they're longing for something. They just don't know it's me. I don't feel very welcomed. I'm not welcome. Jesus said, well, I feel welcomed. Do you hear me? I'm not, again, that's not Jesus is saying, I want you to be impressed with the fact I feel welcomed. He's basically saying, if we're one, Chuck, we feel welcome because you get to share in who I am, how I feel, how I see this thing. You just have to surrender to it in childlike faith and thank me. Don't wait for, do that, then your feelings will change. Don't wait for feelings to change, then do that. Faith doesn't wait for manifestation. Manifestation waits for faith. The truth will set you free, but you have to believe the truth first, so it sets you free. I don't feel safe. Well, I feel safe. I'm not afraid. Oh, thanks, Lord. We're not afraid. Now, that's not me. That's not a fakey. That's me literally believing he's my life, and I'm now just sinking into that, resting in that. Whew, that's right. I'm not trying to handle this on my own. That's stupid living. I don't feel secure. Jesus never feels insecure. I remember one time sitting at a table with a group of alpha males. And I'm fairly soft-spoken. It was a big group of alpha males. And even when it was like we would be talking and I would try to talk because I'm so soft-spoken, I'd get like four words in and then it's just everybody else is talking. It just drowns out. And I just sat there and Lord, I said, I feel so threatened by this whole thing because and the Lord said, I don't feel threatened at all. This is what he said to me. He says, like John 14, it says, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. That's the cross. So that where I am, you'll be also. I'm going to go to the cross so that you and I can do everything as one. You'll never be alone again. You'll always have me. Where I am, that's where you're also. And so I'm sitting at that table, and he said, I don't feel threatened at all. Where I am, you're also. This is, they're dealing with me, not you. We're one. Well, I thought, that's so cool, Lord. Because he wasn't just telling me he didn't feel threatened. He's saying, the life that I want to live through you, this is what it's like. I don't feel threatened. And if we're one, if you'll just sink into me, surrender and trust me, that'll take over. My emotions will bleed into. Light will bring, darkness will go away. Light will shine in the darkness of that place in you, and darkness cannot overcome it. He hides himself, Psalm 18, in my darkness. He's renewing my mind, and every time he renews my mind in a moment, I've been transformed. I've become more like Christ experientially. And when he told me, he said, I don't feel threatened at all. So where I am, there you are also. So they're not dealing with you, they're dealing with me. Oh, you're big enough for this group. You can handle this. What I was saying is now we can handle this because I'm not trying to do it anymore. I was trying to handle it separate and trying to work my way through it. Well, the more you try to work your way through darkness, it just gets darker. Christ is the light. His life is the light. It dispels the darkness. I don't feel important. Jesus is the I am. Again, we said this before. Lord, I don't think I'm very good. But he never created you to be good. He created you to participate in his goodness. It's his goodness bleeding out through you that makes you good. You were created to be utterly and terminally dependent on him. To do anything that's pleasing to God. I don't feel good enough, you know, to merit something. And Jesus is the truth. What's the truth about him? He's good enough. Well, yeah, but I don't feel very qualified. Well, he's really qualified. That's what matters. Well, if I don't get that position, it's because I wouldn't qualify. No, it wasn't rejection. It's called protection. It's his story now. He's ordering your steps. Now you can trust him. You don't want that position just because you want it. If it's not his story, you do not want your story. Let him live his life and his story through your life and your life story, and then he will sanctify your story. Again, I don't feel like I measure up. Well, he measures up. Again, we already did the, well, I don't feel like I'm there yet. Jesus is the there. I don't feel very anointed. So? It's not about whether you're anointed. Are you anointed in him? Is he anointed? And have you been placed into his anointing, therefore? If every spiritual blessing is already yours in Christ, then you're anointed. You're as anointed as anybody who's ever lived. We just have to step out in childlike faith and take it out for a spin. Huh. I love, we do pray for people sometimes around the world, and every once in a while I'll just hear somebody say, well, I don't know, I just feel uncomfortable. That's really not my thing. Really? That's the problem. It never was supposed to be your thing. The issue is, it is his thing. You with me? The apostles, they were all moving in signs and wonders. They didn't all have the same personality. Stephen wasn't an apostle. He moved in signs and wonders. Philip was just translated supernaturally. I mean, this is normal Christianity. He's anointed, and you're in union with him. So if you're the branch and he's the vine, you know, the life comes up from the vine into the branch. It's not the branch's job to try to squeeze up fruit. It's the branch's job is to receive the life of the vine and display fruit. The branch is part of the vine. It's not a branch trying to work it out with the vine. It's part of the vine called branch. It's his life. I don't know. I told the Lord this one years and years ago. I said, Lord, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I read you the verse he gave me. Changed my life again. Every time he speaks, you see, because he's the Word. And so he speaks from the deep recesses of the Father. And every time he does, it's an event in my life. He's the eternal Word. And he's also the eternal Son, and I've been grafted into his sonship. And so he's just constantly revealing the truth about our sonship. He said, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he said, well, I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to fall apart. He says, well, I'm the one who holds all things together. Quit trying to not fall apart. And start trusting me. Because I'm the one who doesn't fall apart, and I always make it. I'm always okay. He's always okay. Even, Paul said, even when I sorrow, I'm always rejoicing. That's being okay, even in the hardest times. That's Christ doing that. Again, the words that I don't feel very beautiful. You could use that to men or women. But Jesus said, you're one with me, and therefore you participate in my beauty. You're as beautiful as I am. We all represent different manifestations of our personalities, the way we look. Fearfully and wonderfully made, created in Christ Jesus, masterpiece. We've allowed the world to dictate to us what's beautiful. Christlikeness is beautiful. Because if it's all about the way you think you look physically, let me just tell you this, in a literal sense of the word, everything goes south as you get older. Everything. And so if your whole security and significance is built on what you think you look like in light of what the world says the standard is of beauty, which has changed throughout the centuries, I don't know if you know that, then when you get older, you're in for trouble. Because you're all kind of doing all kind of stuff. Like, I mean, it's so sad to watch. Sometimes I'll watch celebrities and whatever, and I'm thinking, what happened to your face? Like, but their lips used to be here, but now they're like here, and there's this, and you're doing all that so that you'll be relevant and significant and beautiful, because that's how you've got your security years ago. So what a tragedy. What a tragedy. I've been grafted into the beauty of Jesus. Again, I don't feel worthy. Jesus says, oh, I'm worthy. Therefore, it makes you. You hear me? Verse 31 of John chapter 8, if you abide in my word, this is before the New Testament was written, if you abide in my word, then truly you're my disciples and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What word? Inside of us. We're all hardwired to hear his voice. We grow, and as we grow, we learn the truth about who he is in us, and therefore he's not always having to speak out loud. We've come to know the truth. I know that all things work together for good. That's in me. So most of the time when circumstances happen, I don't have to have that him shout something in me. But his voice is like the sound of a trumpet. He will speak what we need to hear because he loves you. I mean, if he went through all the trouble that we talked about in the incarnation, do you not think he will lead you into all truth? Didn't the Holy Spirit say he would? Into all the truth about Jesus in this situation? And so it's, but there are times when something can happen and it can seem like, oh my gosh, this is such a disappointment. And Jesus is like going, oh, I have peace about this, Chuck. Well, somebody, the word was so powerful, you popped your cork. I like that. Anybody can shout or get excited or raise their hands up. Man. That's cool. Verse 36 of John 8, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So why am I going over these kind of things, giving examples over and over again? Because we just have a short time together. I want you to get it. I want it to get you. I really want you to walk away from here. I want you to spend the rest of the day. The next time, the thing that you've been worrying about, Jesus doesn't worry. You do know that, don't you? It's really frustrating. Jesus told me one time, because I'm a worrier, a professional worrier, come from a long line of worriers, good at worrying. And one time the Lord Jesus said, it's okay, you can worry if you want to. I thought, wow, that was kind of liberating, because it was hard not to worry. This was before I really understood what it meant to be in Christ. And he said, yes. He said, you can worry about anything I'm not big enough for. I thought, oh, that's not right. So the real bottom line is whatever it is, when you the rest of the day, there's some situation at home, something going on in your life, you're worrying about it. Is the Jesus in you worried about it? Because if he's not worried about it, then you don't have to either. I tell this story a lot. A few years ago, there was a situation going on. It was pretty critical. It could impact things on an international level. And I wasn't sure how to work this thing out because I was in the middle of it. And I was actually overseas. And I talked to the Lord about this thing again, and I didn't realize that I've been trying to work it out in my mind. And I was so busy yakking, I couldn't hear him. Now, then he spoke something to me that I should know, but I had to hear it in that moment because my mind was on fire. You know what I'm saying? So Jesus said to me, I'm not worried about it. I thought, oh, wow, it's going to work out really well. He said, it might not work out at all. He said, but I'm not worried about it because I don't worry. I don't slumber or sleep. I'm working in this, but I don't worry. And I remember one time I have this amazing dog named Maud, named her after my grandmother. And she's a golden lab. I love her. And so if for whatever reason, especially if Brett, Archdeacon, or Patty take her out to go to the bathroom. She has to do like a bathroom thing at night because she'll sleep 12 hours. She's really amazing, but she'll go to the bathroom. But if I go to go to the bathroom, she decides she's going to run out somewhere. So if it's like 15 degrees outside, she's going to run around. And I'm like begging her, you know, Maud, Maud. And so I get so frustrated with her. And I came back in. I finally got her in the house. And Jesus said, I don't get frustrated. Period. He doesn't do frustration. I thought, Lord, it's a dog. Now, I love my dog. You with me? Big time. But he said, I don't do frustration. I don't get frustrated with bugs, dogs, people, situations, because I don't do frustration. Wow. I don't have to do fret, because it wasn't any fun. Ma didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it. You hear what I'm trying to say to you? The Jesus who lives in you, what's his nature? So this afternoon, this evening, there's something that's coming on in your life, and you start worrying. That means that you're now cast the burden on yourself again. You're somehow trying to anticipate, trying to work it out. Jesus is saying, look, trust me. I'm not worried. I'm at peace. No matter how it turns out, it's going to be my story in your life. And I don't do bad stories. Just sink into me and trust me. And when I do, then his emotions begin to show up. Light begins to shine out of my darkness. And we'll finish in just a second. John 13. Now, everything I did last night was scripted, and I had a lot of fun with that. Everything today has been not scripted, and he's had a lot of fun with that. So in John 13, and Jesus breaks the news to them that he's going away. Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered and said, where I go, you cannot follow me now. You shall follow me later. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you? Peter was very sincere. Why can't I follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. I can do this for you, Lord. He even told him in Luke, I'll even go to jail. I'll die for you. Basically said, these other ones, these goofballs, they may not, but I'll die for you. I'll never deny you. And then Jesus tells us in Luke 22, that passage in the upper room, he says, Simon, Satan has obtained permission to sift you like wheat. But I'm going to pray for you that your faith won't fail. And when you turn again, you'll be able to strengthen your brothers. You'll be able to teach them. If you're trying to do the I cans, you'll discover that you can't. But in the discovery that you can't, you'll find out that I can. My spiritual father used to say this all the time, I can't, Lord, but you never said I could. But you can, and you always said you would. So in John 13, he says, Jesus said, will you lay your life down for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times. But it doesn't stop there. Like there's a chapter division. Whoever did the chapter division should be shot. Because that's not how the Bible was written. He says, will you lay your life down for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock will not crow until you deny me three times. But let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me, Peter. Even though you're going to blow it. Can you trust me? All you see is a failure once this happens. But what I see is my ability to do something in you and through you. I'm going to take up residence on the inside where the darkness is so that my light can shine. You're going to discover in your failure that you can't, but I can. And so to see the Christian life, where we struggle, where we still have the old man, is all the I'm nots and all the well, I can'ts. I can't do this. I can't go in there and speak to people. I hear that all the time. I can't speak to people. I told the Lord when I first started walking with him, I'll do anything except stand up in front of people and talk. Now he can't get me to shut up. See, those are the I can'ts. It's not whether you can or can't. Can he? Lord, I can't handle this situation. It's so painful. Good. Because if you try to handle it, you're going to make a mess of it and turn out to be a mess yourself. I can, Chuck. I can handle this. And therefore, join me and we'll handle it together. I'll be doing it through you. Because we live by his faith. What does he believe? We live by the faith of the Son of God. See, my faith is in his faith for every situation. I just add mustard seed faith, his great faith, whatever. What do you believe here, Lord? What do you see here, Lord? How do you think here, Lord? That's one of the ways that you, the discipline of learning how to hear the truth about who he is. And then as time goes by, it just gets bigger and bigger. And more the darkness goes away because you're living from the truth. You know, quit telling people, oh, I'm just such a mess, I'm so weak. Really? Why don't you tell them the truth? That's not the truth. In your weakness, his strength is made perfect. Tell that truth. That's what strengthens your brothers and sisters. Not by, quote, being so humble that you're telling everybody what a mess you are, how weak you are. That's just another version of pride. It's all about you. It's not supposed to be all about you. It's all about him. One of the nicest, kindest, sweetest persons I've ever known is a guy named Scott Howard. He's a priest. He used to go to Africa with me all the time. And so neat guy, Father Scott Howard. One day I was doing seminary. We had a bunch of people in seminary. This was years and years ago. And we would go to lunch. I said, Scott, ride with me, because he was a deacon, going to be made a priest in a few weeks. And every time I talked to him, he just talked about how inadequate he was, how inadequate he felt, because he thought that was humility. You know, I just feel so, I'm not adequate, not, you know, yada, yada. So he gets in the car. I said, Scott, let me talk to you. Now, this is, for those who know Scott Howard would know, we and I talked about this the other day, we laughed. I said, Scott, you may be the most self-centered person I've talked to in a long, long time. He went, what? So it's all about you. It's all about you can't. I'm not adequate. When was it supposed to be all about you? Is that your story? I thought he took over your story. Oh, I mean, you saying that, oh my gosh, you know, if it was just up to me, I couldn't do any of this, but I'm so thrilled. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's the story. That's the truth. Jesus, I just wrote this down. So I didn't create you to be beautiful, or to be smart, or to be special, or to be whatever. I created you to find all that stuff in me, to be as special as I am, to be as beautiful as I am, to be as smart as I am, to be as adequate as I am, to be as noted, as anointed as I am, to be as worthy as I am, to be accepted as I am, to be secure as I am, to be as faithful as I am, to be as good as I am. Okay. I don't know what all some of you might be going through. I understand. You know why I understand? It's because I was one sick puppy all those years ago, mentally ill. But I understand because I'm one with him and he understands. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed in you. He's not angry or offended with you. He's disappointed for you because there's more. You hear me? He understands. That's why he came to rescue you. See, he's hidden himself in your darkness. And step by step, moment by moment, as we look to him who is the truth and we just rest in him as my life. Okay, Lord, you're doing that. You're taking over. You're doing this now through my personality. As I do, the darkness is dispelled because the darkness can't overcome him. If you're trying to do something, trying to be something, out of your own darkness, you're trying to do something, and you're going to stay in darkness. It's just going to be reinforced. But he lives in you, so you don't have to live that way ever again. Okay? Okay. I love you so much. I hope, I pray, I know that this is going to make sense to you. And it's going to make more sense as time goes by. The weekend's not over. We're going to do some cool stuff tonight. Great stuff tomorrow. Cool stuff Sunday. And the Holy Spirit put that in my heart. See, Jesus is my prayer life. I only pray, I want to pray what he's praying for. That's why I pray in his name. And 5 different times in the Upper Room Discourse, he says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. I believe that. That's normal. I'm going after that. So it's in his name. As him, I ask the Father for all 16 of you. And the Father responds to me in Jesus. I'm in his sonship. I'm in his son. I live in the bosom of the Father and have the favor on my life that Jesus has. Okay. Well, see you tonight. We get to eat again in about 30 minutes. So 6 o'clock. Okay. See you later.